Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Custom Turf by Evergreen FS. FS Custom Turf offers complete lawn and tree care services to preserve the health of yards, trees, and shrubs. Products and services detailed at evergreen-fs.com.
It's that time of year.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Here to talk more about chestnut trees, chestnuts, and how to roast them is our gardening expert, Patrick Murphy, from Illinois State University's School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. This is another edition of WGLT's gardening podcast, Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy. Patrick, thanks for stopping by.
Good to see you again.
So let's talk about the trees first and the demise of the American chestnut. What happened?
Simply put, the American chestnut blight is a disease that attacked the American chestnut. It nearly wiped them out, but that's the bad news. The good news is there are still some pockets. We've talked about this tree before in different contexts. But in Michigan and the Carolinas, there are still some places where you can see these trees in their glory. They were monsters. These trees are great big trees. Very few of them exist anymore, but it was the blight that eliminated them from the American landscape.
How are they able to segregate these small pockets of chestnuts from getting the blight?
It was geographical and terrain that kind of isolated them and protected them. That's all there was to it. They just got lucky. They were in the right place.
And because we have these pockets of American chestnuts, is there a possibility this tree will ever come back, or is the blight such that if you planted one in Illinois, it would just eventually die?
It would eventually die, but there is ground being made. Arboretums and nurseries all over the United States and in Europe are trying to find the resistant traits that we need to bring this tree back, and I'm confident that it'll be accomplished.
If the American chestnut is just hanging on, what trees are we talking about, and what are we eating when we eat roasted chestnuts?
Well, the American chestnut is relative to the Chinese chestnut, the Japanese or Korean chestnut, as well as the European chestnut. So you could be eating chestnuts from any of those trees, as well as you might be eating some from a very small, rare occurrence of fruit being successfully produced from an American chestnut. You'd probably have to be in Michigan and the Carolinas to capture something like that.
And how do these different varieties of chestnut differ from each other and from the American chestnut?
Well, anticipating you asking me that, Mike, I was going to say that if you put all of these trees together, it'd be like putting the siblings of a family together. Hmm. They're all different, but they have similarities that are nearly identical. The size and shape would be just slightly different. Even the covering, the kind of urchin-looking, needly covering that's on the chestnuts, those vary as well. So there would be just minor botanical differences. The bark was slightly different, the shape, silhouette slightly different, the flowers' appearance, and even the shape and coloration of the nuts are slightly different between each one.
So what do these nuts taste like, and do they have to be roasted to be eaten?
They kind of have a taste that you would expect. It's kind of an earthy, woody taste with a little butter in there. And you don't have to roast them. You could boil them. The pioneers boiled them and ate them directly, and they even used that as an expeditious livestock feed. But roasting is preferred because the roasting has an effect on them. If you've eaten something boiled compared to something roasted, roasted just has a better flavor.
And how do you get at the nut? You mentioned it was in an urchin-like spiny covering.
Yeah, it is. And it, you know, along those lines, it's always fascinating to me that squirrels can crack those things right open. But if a person grabs one, you should have gloves on. And a lot of times when you would be harvesting these chestnuts, the husk is still on there, but there might be a crack in it. With gloves on, or once they've dried after being collected, the husks come off and revealing the little chestnuts kind of huddled together inside.
And there's more than one nut inside the husk?
Yeah, there's usually around four.
So how do you go about cooking them or roasting them?
The most common way is to, after they have been cleaned, you could take a knife and score the rounded side, you know, put like an X in it, or you could just take like a fork and poke three or four little holes in it, and then let them soak in water for, you know, 12 to 24 hours, and then you're going to roast them in the oven for 20 to 30 minutes. And during this 20 to 30 minutes, there's going to be a time that you're going to see steam in there. That's the moisture that the nuts have taken up from being soaked in the water. And you're going to hear some popping and crackling, and that's an indication that you're just about finished. So if you hear that before the 30-minute ding goes off, your chestnuts are ready to go.
And the song, of course, says chestnuts roasting over an open fire.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Can you do it over a fire?
Yeah, and I think that that's a special way to do it because the fragrance of these are wonderful. You know, whether you're at a winterside campsite or it's the holidays and you're inside, they make your kitchen smell great. And roasting them over an open fire was because at the time in America when this song became popular, there were street vendors selling the chestnuts mm-hmm. out, and that was a common occurrence.
Are they good for you?
They're excellent for you. They're full of illness and disease-fighting bodies. The disease and ill-fighting nutrients in the chestnut has made it popular both in the East and the West. So in the East, a lot of the diet is rich with foods that have illness-fighting properties, you know, like kimchi, the fermented cabbage. Well, they eat roasted chestnuts also because they have two varieties of chestnut tree growing in that part of our world. So the properties are related to micronutrients and stuff that is less common in the food that we normally eat.
Trees aside, are the nuts easily confused with other similar nuts? I mean, if someone gives me a bag full of nuts and they say, here are some chestnuts, how am I going to know?
There is some confusion between the chestnuts and the family of Aesculus. That's the buckeye. The buckeyes have a similar appearance, but they're totally rounded and smooth, whereas a horse chestnut always has a point or like a little tassel on it. If one were to go to the steps that we talked about preparing a chestnut, you could prepare a buckeye that way, but then I think you'd be met with a stomach ache and, you know, a few extra rolls of toilet paper missing from the bathroom.
And so a buckeye and a horse chestnut are the same tree?
They are not. The nuts look similar.
Okay, so
and
horse,
the trees look similar.
So buckeyes you can't eat?
No.
And horse chestnuts you can't eat?
Correct.
Horse chestnuts more closely related to the chestnut?
It's in the Aesculus family, so its horse chestnut would be in the buckeye family, but just plain old chestnut, that's a different family. That's Castanea.
So you and I talked about the Christmas song, which we heard earlier. We also talked before this recording about a song that's popular in South Korea. It might be a school song that translates into roughly the ballad of the roasted chestnut, and I was able to dig that up.
That's awesome, Mike.
If you have any gardening questions or landscape questions about chestnuts or other nuts, get in touch, share your questions, and we might answer them on an upcoming episode of Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.